Church, thank you for your giving, and I want to also thank you for all the families that joined us in the Pay It Forward campaign. And I know that even after both services, I had families come up and hand me cards because they were still praying about it. And if you still are thinking about joining us in that campaign, we want to see this building taken care of so that we can continue to move on what God wants to do with Harvest. Can I get an amen? Amen. We have been in a series called Amen, So Be It. I'm hearing some music. Y'all hear music? Piano? Okay, well, anyway, I'm going to preach you some music today, I guess. Last week, we looked at the story of Moses and Joshua, which we talked a little bit about more time in the tent, the lifestyle of a man. And in there were three thoughts that came out. We talked about that more time in the tent gives us more time in his presence. It gives us more of his spirit, boldness, and strength. And then lastly, we get more of him wherever you go. And the scripture that we really stood on at the end was, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Can I get an amen for that? So today I want to talk to you briefly about, in the name of Jesus, the boldness of a man. Let me say that again. In the name of Jesus, the boldness of a man. In the name of Jesus, I was fortunately, my family, you know, they went to church. I was raised in the AG from, goodness, since I was born. You know my testimony. If you've not, there was about 6-7 years that I really fell away from the Lord. I was not serving him at all the way that I should have. But my earliest memories, though, from age 5-6 was when I started kind of having memories of being in church. And then from there, all the memories start really coming in. But the thing that I remember hearing in church, whether it was a prayer or if it was in a sermon or you would hear it in worship, it was in the name of Jesus. I can remember, you know this. I mean, for some, hopefully all of us, we pray at our meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, the prayer, a simple prayer like this, like, "Heavenly Father, thank you for this food and pray that you bless our bodies in your precious name, amen," or "in the name of Jesus." Everybody with me? Prayers like that. I remember I was a junior in high school. I wasn't living for God at the time at all. I had a chemistry class. Our teacher, she was about 5'2", in her late 50s, early 60s, very sweet lady. She loved us. We loved her, but we knew how to push her buttons. And I had me and my best friends, Mark and Dale, and we were those ones that, like, if Mark got in trouble, Matt and Dale were always with him. If Dale got in trouble, it was Matt and Mark were always with him. And so it was one of those things. But we knew how to push her buttons. And what I remember, because, you know, I'm not serving the Lord, but I would hear her. She would be up teaching chemistry, and we would be pushing her buttons, and she would do something like this. She would go, "Jesus, Jesus." And she'd turn around and walk back to her desk. Or she would do this one right here. She'd go, "Jesus, help me." And she would walk around like this. But the one that I would hear her say was this right here. She would go, "In the name of Jesus." And I remember being like 16. I'm like, is she casting out demons right now? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I really felt like. She was trying to, you know, anyway, I recognized her saying this. But when I gave my heart to Christ, when I fully stepped into, "I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to do my best. This is what I want to do." I'm starting on my journey of faith. That's when "in the name of Jesus" took on a completely different meaning in my life. I became very aware of those around me on the same journey who were praying and they're proclaiming and standing and believing on the name of Jesus. I wanted what they had, that boldness of amen. And these are people who I'm looking at, and I'm wanting this. I'm aware of them. They are looking for God. They're seeking him. They're wanting Jesus to be involved in their very day in decision making, even in their circumstances. So I want to start in this sermon with the scripture here. It's going to come up here on Philippians chapter 2, and it's verses 9 through 11. And I built this around this. We're going to come to this about three times during the message, but let's read this. And it says this right here: "Therefore, God elevated him to the highest place of honor, place of highest honor, and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus," everybody say Jesus. Do y'all feel that power when that comes in? It changes the atmosphere, that every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, The Passion Translation very quickly says, he has now been given the greatest of all names, the authority, which we're going to talk a little bit more about, the authority of the name of Jesus caused every name to bow in reverence. And just being real, some of you are probably not going to like what I'm about to say, but I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to say this. But in this life, you're pursuing two things. You're either pursuing holiness or you're pursuing wickedness. What we know in Scripture is this, is that God has made it very clear that he doesn't like a lukewarm life. And what does that mean? That's in the middle, right? So he would rather you be wicked or be holy. But you're pursuing either Jesus or you're pursuing the things of Satan himself. So to say that, you're either pursuing holiness or you're pursuing wickedness. God's definition of wickedness is a person who does not seek him. Basically, you're not looking for God. People who ignore him, people who have no time for him, people who never do anything to aggressively pursue him. You see, Psalms 10:4 says that the wicked are too proud to seek God. They seem to think that God is dead. New King James Version says it this way, that the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his or her thoughts. It would be us saying something like, I don't need to fast. I don't see the need to pray. I don't need to worship. You see, wickedness is me. That would be Matt Stewart choosing that I don't need to depend on God. Wickedness does not take the time to read his word. Wickedness does not take the time to get alone with God. Wickedness will never see any reason to stop or repent. You know, guys, and this is being transparent, the very first thing that you and I should do when we're facing trouble is turn to God. How many times, I mean, it really blows my mind when this happens, and this is not just because it's church hurt. We can blame it on whatever you want to blame it on. But when something wrong happens in our lives, our first solution is I'm not going to church. Where we need to be, actually, that should be the first place we want to be, to go and be in the presence of God and be with those people who love us and care for us and will pray with us in the name of Jesus, amen? But guys, to call on the name of Jesus, when you come against any problem, whether it's your children, with your family, with your marriage, with your job, with your finances, when you feel anxiety and fear, when you feel like you need wisdom to make the right decision, when you are doing your best to pursue holiness and the things of God, when you are seeking God, truly going to and pursuing him, something inside of you will all of a sudden come up and say, Matt, you gotta pray. Instead of running from him, something inside just raises up and says, cry out to God. Speak the name of Jesus. This is what we do. We are the children of God. We should be speaking the name of Jesus. But when you are far from God, when he is not in your thoughts, when he is the last one you think about, we are operating from a place of wickedness. It's almost like we have to remember or to remind ourselves about God after we've gone through everything else to try to fix the circumstance we're in. Psalms 14:2 says this, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand or who are seeking him. I love how the Message says this. You guys are going to get a kick out of this one, but it's truth. God sticks his head out of heaven. He looks around. He's looking for someone not stupid. One man, even God expectant, just one God-ready woman. Basically, what God is saying is there any who are pursuing me? Are there any pastors who are seeking me? Are there any parents who are seeking me? Are there any young people and students who are looking for me, for my plan, for their lives? Are there any who are actively, aggressively pursuing me? And God is letting us know that he is looking for people who are looking for and pursuing him. Give me an amen, you guys. Come on. He cares so much. Jesus loves you so much, and God will speak to you. He will come to you when you call on the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, the very name of Jesus, that's what he responds to. When I call out to the one that I know his name is Jesus, when I declare, and it's going to come up on the board for you, in the name of Jesus, there's something about that name. I am speaking of the one I know. I have confidence in this name. I am filled with his spirit and declaring from a place of boldness because he knows me. I know his name, and his name is Jesus. If you know him, these are hands of praise right here, you guys. If you know him, if you know the name of Jesus, if you know him, there is no demon in hell that can turn you around. If you know his name, there's not one person who can convert you to a false religion or ism. If you know his name, no one, no person could ever convince you to walk away from his love. Guys, I've heard of the President of the United States. I see him on TV, but I don't know him. There's a big difference here. Is everybody with me? It's not enough to say that you've heard about Jesus. You need to know him for yourself. If there's anybody in the 11 a.m. service, give me a bold amen. Come on. John 17:3 says this. This is eternal life. They may know you, the only true God, the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. If you know him, if you know him, if you know his name at the name of Jesus. Look at Philippians chapter 2. This is the American Standard Version. I love this one because we've been talking about at the name of Jesus. But look at this. God highly exalted him and gave unto him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things. I like this too. I love this version. Of things in heaven and things on the earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want my life operating from a place of boldness. I want my life to be daily in the presence of my Savior. I want my life to have that posture of a man. This is what I believe. This is what I declare. This is what I decree. And I will not be shaken and I will not be moved. That in the name of Jesus, I will step into every and any plan or purpose for my life. That in the name of Jesus, I decree all plans of the enemy will fall short and that no weapon formed against me or my family will ever prosper. You know, I didn't get to get into this morning, but the first service, but there's a big difference in declaring, decreeing. Let's just talk about that just for a second. I love declaring. Declaring is what I already know. I declare that the Lord is the Lord of my home. Amen? I declare that my heart is in the hands of my Lord and Savior. But decreeing is what you're asking for. Everybody catch that? That I decree in the name of Jesus that my oldest son is going to come back to you. Is everybody with me? That I decree in the name of Jesus that I will have healing in my body. There's a big difference in declare and decree, but they're both powerful. You guys, in the name of Jesus, I know my Savior. I know who he is. I know what he has done for me. In his name, I will live in the boldness of a man. So I want to get into three quick thoughts. I promise you I won't take a lot of time. In the name of Jesus, the boldness of a man. What we want to look at is how do our lives benefit living under and in the name of Jesus. And the first thought is this. There is power in the name of Jesus. There was a message that I did not too long ago talking about power. I don't know how many of you have ever had the chance to be in a souped-up car that's got a V8 or a V10, V12. There's some power behind that, you know? Come on, guys. You know what I'm saying? Girls. How many girls? Come on. Y'all know what I'm saying. Y'all been in a V8 before. I know that there's a big difference between that and being in the ocean. I remember when I first started learning to surf out in Santa Cruz, man, and just being at the mercy of a wave, and as it took me and the power behind it, the ocean can be so beautiful, but at the same time can be so awful. There's power there. I know that in space, there's things that we're learning every day through science and through astrologists, that there are things that are happening. There's power in our universe that we don't even have an idea of how powerful it is. But guys, there is nothing more powerful than the power of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing more powerful than the resurrection power. And we're not just talking about the power that brought Jesus out of the grave, that one day when the trumpet sounds, that those that died before us, that all will be resurrected and we will go and be with our Lord and Savior. There is no power that could ever touch that. Guys, there is power in the name of Jesus. You know, my wife, I'm still kind of reeling from my wife's message a couple weeks ago at Awakening, and I just found out that they just put it up on podcast if you want to listen to it for yourselves. It's not long. It's like a 12, 13-minute message, but I encourage you to go listen to it. And we talked a little bit last week about when the council was really mad at Peter and John for healing this crippled man, and they brought him before the council and the Sanhedrin, and they're going at him. And I remember, if you remember when I said this, I said that when Peter began to speak, it said that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, he began to speak. Well, I want you to hear what he actually said. Acts 4, 10 through 12. You and everyone else in Israel should know that it is by the power of the name of Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. That this crippled man stands here today completely healed. You crucified Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but God raised him from the dead. This is Jesus, the stone that you, the builders, have rejected, and now he has become the cornerstone. There is no one else who has the power to save us, for there is only one name to whom God has given authority by which we must experience salvation. It's the name of Jesus. You see, in the message, very quickly at the end here, it says it this way, that salvation comes no other way. No other name has been given or will be given to us by which we can be saved. Only this, what? One. Remember, we talked a little bit last week. There's a lot of believers and Christians out there today that are making many ways to God, but there's only one way. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise for that. One way. You see, Jesus has the power to forgive. Jesus has the power to save, the power to heal. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. He has the power to pull people out of the grips of hell and death. He is resurrection power. Salvation is in his name. Jesus is life. You know, there's a story. We've read it many times, the story of Lazarus. But sometimes we get past really quickly the conversation that's going on between Jesus and Martha. Jesus comes up, he finally shows up, and Martha has this thing. She says, we all know, I'm saying it my way, but she basically says, Jesus, if you had just been here a little earlier, if you had just been here a little earlier, I know that my brother would still be alive. And here is his response, and we find it here, 11:25. Jesus said to her, he goes, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Now look at this in the Passion Translation, because I love this. She replied, yes, I know he will rise with everyone else on Resurrection Day, but check out what he does here. He says, Martha. It's like he takes her by her face and just says, Martha, look at me. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying to you. And he says this right here. You don't have to wait until then. I am the resurrection, and I am eternal life. Church, we don't have to wait for the trumpet sound to step into his Holy Spirit power. Jesus is saying, it's yours now. I'm right here. It's like, Matt, I'm here. My resurrection power is here. My Holy Spirit is power and is here right now. In the name of Jesus, my power is yours now. How many of us could just use maybe another scripture on power? Come on. I'm going to give it to you anyway. Acts 2, 38 and 39, it says this. Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized. What's it say? In the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away. All have been called by the Lord our God. Now, I like doing this. I love looking at Scripture a little deeper. What captured my heart was this, is that in the name of Jesus, that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And look what it says. This promise is to you. What's it say after? To your children and what? To those far away. Now, you can read and translate that however you want, but for me in my life, because I know what my wife and I are praying for, that's saying,
Here with me? That promise is for me, it's for my wife, it's for my children, and those far away. That means for any of us who have a prodigal in their lives, and I'm not talking about children, it could be a mom, a grandma, an uncle, an aunt, somebody who, that this promise is for them as well when they confess him as Lord and Savior. They're going to have that same power, that same gift. Can I get an amen? All those that have been called from the Lord. You guys, there is power in the name of Jesus, and his power is for every one of us. Every one of us. Here's my second thought. In the name of Jesus, the boldness of amen. The first was there's power in the name of Jesus. The second is there's everything in the name of Jesus. Come on, don't mess with me with my grammar. I know, come on. There's power here. There is everything in the name of Jesus. That means everything I do, everything that I ask, everything that I live in his name, your purpose and your plan, there's everything in the name of Jesus. My grandfather, Shaw, my mom's father, he passed away in 2001 from cancer, colon cancer. And I talked a little bit about him last week, but when I was 12 or 13 years old, we had gone up to the family land. The Shaws owned some acres up somewhere a little bit north in Arkansas, and we were there in the valley. And we were looking for arrows and arrowheads, and we were shooting guns and pistols and squirrel hunting and just having a bunch of fun. And we come up into this valley where the trees kind of opened up, and we set up a bunch of targets and stuff. And so we're shooting, and we're kind of shooting probably about, I don't know, 40 yards out. When my grandpa turns to go get some more ammo, and me and my brother are looking down, and about 100 yards down, there's this tree that's fallen, and it has like a stump, that branch that had been broken off, and we were trying to hit that. We didn't have scopes. We were doing iron sights, and Grandpa comes back and goes, "Boys, what are you shooting at?" We're like, "Grandpa, you know, do you think that you could..." Oh, by the way, probably on that day, too, he probably took us up there, and we had chewed some tobacco as well. It used to drive my mom crazy, but anyway, so we're up there, you know, spitting tobacco and shooting and stuff. Anyway, we're up there shooting, and we go, "Grandpa, do you think that you can hit that, you know, log out there with the..." He goes, "Boys, I can hit anything you point out to me." And he kneeled down and he took the rifle and iron sighted it up and shot, and that thing exploded. And I remember we just stood there with our eyes wide open. In my heart, in my head, I was convinced that if it was a mile away, my grandfather could have shot that with an iron sight. You know what I mean? It was like I'm seeing it happen in front of me. Look at the scripture right here. Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything." When he said, I can shoot anything or everything you put in front of me, that's we believed he could do it. But here is Jesus. He says, "Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you do, going to school, working a job, being a parent, going to the dentist, cooking a meal, working at the gym, or anything else, everything is possible in the name of Jesus. Matthew 19:26, and Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God," what's it say? "All things are possible." These are the go-tos. Look at this one. Philippians 4:13, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." There's a story in the Bible where Jesus comes up on a father whose son is demon-possessed. And I want you to look at what happens here. They're having this conversation. Jesus says, "How long has this been happening?" He asked the boy's father. And he replied, "Since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into fire and into water and trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." Now, let's just stop there for a second. The only reason that father says it this way, where he says, "Have mercy on us and help us if you can," is because he's heard of Christ, he's heard of what he's done, he's heard about his words that he said, but he doesn't know him. Come on, church. He doesn't know him. That's why you would say it that way. And look at the response Jesus gives him back. "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asks. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The NIV says everything is possible. The New King James Version says all things are possible. This is everything you could possibly or imagine or need in the name of Jesus. He can do it. It's in his name. Amen? I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. I'm going to close this up. Let's give our worship team a hand as they come up. God bless. them. Amazing. So in the name of Jesus, the boldness of amen, how do our lives benefit living in the name of Jesus? The first thought was that there is power in the name of Jesus. There is everything in the name of Jesus. And there is relationship and authority in the name of Jesus. Let me read that again. There is relationship and authority in the name of Jesus. I don't know if you guys have ever had to do this, like maybe in the past couple years, or maybe you even did it this year. Maybe it was a New Year's resolution that you did. I recommend it, not as couples or whatever. I think it's more about single, as you as a person, one-on-one, that you have to go through and you prioritize relationships. And look at this. This is going to come up on the board for you. You have most quality time, you have some quality time, least quality amount of quality time, or no more quality time. And what I mean by this is that at the top where most quality time should be, there is, that's husband and wife, of course. Y'all need to be spending time together. There's family. Maybe if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you're going to spend more time with them. There's best friends or small groups or gatherings that you have. That's where you put your time. Then you have some quality time. This would be maybe friends or coworkers or acquaintances that you work an eight-hour day with, and they're going to get some of your time. Then the least amount of quality time. You know, I have some dudes in my life that two or three times a year we will meet up for coffee, and we don't see each other more than that. But when we do, we're investing in each other. We're catching up. We're checking in. Is everybody with me? And there's still relationship there, although we don't get to see each other much. Some of these are FaceTime, people in California and Texas and whatever. But then there's this one, the more quality time. No more quality time. Because what happens here is that's where we have to make the decision where we say, you know, it's just not good when we get together. Maybe it's this right here. It's where there's no life. There's no life being given when we meet. Or you get in the car and you're putting your seatbelt on and you go, every time I get with this person, I feel like I've taken two steps backwards. Or they it feels like they're sucking the life out of you. Or you feel worse every time you get together. Because that right there is incredibly important, because what that does is that's the enemy, that's his time to get a hold of you and mess with you in your relationships. Because if it's messing you up down there, it's going to mess up everything above. But here's the thing that's most quality time, it's got to be with Jesus. Everything from husband and wife and friends and boyfriend, girlfriend, relationships, acquaintances, and all of this, it needs to be under the covering of the name of Jesus. And if you're spending the most quality time with him, I promise you everything will line up in his will the way it should be. Beth Guckenberger, who wrote the book that we've been studying from, she wrote it this way. Living Amen is an anthem that sings louder than any chorus of fear. It says, I don't know what's next, but I will march on. I can't see around the corner, but I will run headlong anyway. I can't control, don't want to manipulate, and won't try to manage what's not mine to hold. I care about one thing only. What's it say, church? My connection with Jesus. I will protect it, find comfort in it, and nurture it. Inside this connection, I drink deeply from the cup providing me with wisdom, peace, and comfort for the curves in the road and the challenges ahead. So I came across this when I read that part where it says, I drink deeply from the cup provided me. About 3 weeks ago, the Lord gave me a word. I'm not a pastor that gets up here and professes to operate in the prophetic or anything like that, but God has given me a specific word, and I put it in my phone. I put it in my notes. It's there. And when I read this, I knew it was time to give this word. And I don't know who this is for. I gave it in the first service. And I don't know who it's for in this service, but I believe it's for some people, and I believe it's for those who are watching online as well. But I want to give this, and it deals with voids. I think some of us, we have these voids in our lives, and we're doing our best to fill it, but really the only one that can fill it is Jesus, amen? Here's the word. The voids that you are trying to fill and are carrying around in your heart and in your life will only be filled by drinking deeply from my son, Jesus.
I mean, guys, when I read that, I got chills because I knew what God had given me 3 weeks before. And I want you to know something. If it's hurt, if it's a soul scar, I don't care what it is, and you've got a hole in your heart or in your life and you're trying to fill it, the word is that the only way it will be filled is by drinking deeply from my son, Jesus. John 14, 15, and 16. Most scholars believe that this is a conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples at the Last Supper. We know in chapter 13 of John is where Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. We know that in chapter 17, he prays a prayer that most scholars believe that he prayed that at the Garden of Gethsemane. But John 14, 15, and 16, the words that he uses is not found in Matthew, it's not found in Mark, and it's not found in Luke. And I want to read this to you. In John 14, 13 and 14, here's what he says. And I will do whatever you ask, what's it say? In my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Let's go to John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And then John 16, it says this, 23 and 24. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, hey, come on, guys. I get excited about this stuff, okay? The first sermon we did in Amen, we talked about verily, verily, or truly, truly. That's basically saying, Amen, I tell you. And who do we know as the Amen? Jesus. Jesus is the Amen. So he's saying, Amen, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Come on, give me an amen. Amen. Guys, this is our Bible. It's our Bible. Whether it's on your phone, whether you've got a hard copy in front of you, this is in our Bible. We have heard God's word with our ears. We have seen the scriptures with our eyes. It's in our Bibles, and it's time to apply what we have heard, what we are experiencing. Guys, this is in our Bible. So Harvest, why would we not ask in Jesus' name? It's time to declare and decree in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. William, thank you for worship this morning. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your life. We want to thank you for your name. And Lord, we just want to give you praise, God. We want to step into where we're living in and under your name. God, we want everything that the scriptures have shown us today. And Father, I pray for those that are hurting, that have voids and have holes in their lives, dear God, that they need filled. We're going to pray that you're going to do that for them starting today. God, I pray for any of that are here and say, Pastor Matt, I'm struggling with my faith. I need to get some things right with Jesus. I need to make things right with him. Or maybe this will be your first time to even accept Jesus as your Savior. But no matter what that is, you need to do it to get under that name, to be in his name. And you know you need to make it right before you can take any steps. And with every head bowed and eye closed, you would say, Pastor Matt, I need to get things right with Christ today. Would you just lift your hand very quickly, very quickly? Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Need to get it right with Jesus today? Yes, sir. I see you, buddy. Amen. So Jesus, thank you for these hands. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, what you're going to do in their lives. I thank you, God, that you were already moving even when the thought came into their head. And Jesus, I'm asking right now, Lord Jesus, that as they repent, as in their heart, dear God, they're giving you their life, that you're becoming king of their heart, that, Lord, I pray things are going to become different, dear Lord. I pray, God, instead of taking two steps back, they're going to be lunging forward in your name. That, dear Lord, they're going to start declaring and decreeing the things that they see and know about you because you are their Savior. Change things for them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, right here, right now, as they give their lives to you, start changing, dear God, for them. Father God, change those circumstances. Make a way where it doesn't look like there's a way. Throw that mountain into the sea in the name of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you that you are our Savior. We thank you for who you are. and we give you our hearts and lives. And everybody said amen. Amen. Guys, listen. We're going to stand up and we're going to worship. And in fact, let's just stand now. Let's go ahead and stand. We have a prayer team here that are going to come down. They're going to stand in the front for you. And this is what I want to say. If you go, Pastor Matt, I don't really want anybody to pray with me. I just want to be able to pray. That's fine. But if you need somebody to pray with you, they're going to be down here. They're going to meet you. And this is what you're coming down for. You're coming down because you need somebody to agree with your healing. You're coming down because maybe your marriage is struggling right now and you need some help. You're coming down because you need a financial miracle. Whatever that is, Jesus wants to meet you here. They're going to worship. If you don't feel like coming down, I understand. We're going to worship together. But if you need prayer, I would tell you, please don't walk out of here without coming down and let somebody agreeing with you in the name of Jesus that things are going to change. So let's just worship. We're going to sing, and we're going to open up the altar here for the next few minutes, and let's just agree that God's going to move. God bless you guys.